and she repeated it several times, was, "Well, he asked for it, didn't he?" Susan ended up with a spanking. Not the ideal start for any romance. The next recorded meeting, according to the best man, was when they both arrived at their elementary school. Susan declared with a knowing air that Michael was a crybaby, and what's more, a sneak. Michael told the other boys that he would share his graham crackers with anyone who was willing to pull Susan Illingworth's pigtails. Few boys tried a second time. At the end of their first year, Susan and Michael were jointly awarded the class prize. Their teacher considered it the best course of action if she hoped to prevent another ice cream incident. Susan told her friends that Michael's mother did his homework for him, to which Michael responded that at least it was in his own handwriting. The rivalry continued unabated through junior and senior high until they departed for different universities. Michael to Connecticut State and Susan to Georgetown. For the next 4 years, they both worked hard at avoiding each other. In fact, the next occasion their paths crossed was, ironically, at Susan's home, when her parents threw a surprise graduation party for their daughter. The biggest surprise was not that Michael accepted the invitation, but that he turned up. Susan didn't recognize her old rival immediately, partly because he had grown 4 inches and was for the first time taller than her. It wasn't until she offered him a glass of wine and Michael remarked, "At least this time you didn't pour it all over me," that she realized who the tall, handsome man was. "God, I behaved dreadfully, didn't I?" said Susan, wanting him to deny it. "Yes, you did," he said. "But then, I expect I deserved it." "You did," she said, biting her tongue. They chatted like old friends, and Susan was surprised at how disappointed she felt when a classmate from Georgetown joined them and started flirting with Michael. They didn't speak to each other again that evening. Michael phoned the following day and invited her to see Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn in Adam's Rib. Susan had already seen the movie, but still heard herself accepting, and couldn't believe how long she spent trying on different dresses before he arrived for that first date. Susan enjoyed the film, even though it was her second time, and wondered if Michael would put an arm around her shoulder when Spencer Tracy kissed Katharine Hepburn. He didn't. But when they left the movie house, he took her hand as they crossed the road and didn't let it go until they reached the coffee shop. That was when they had their first row. Well, disagreement. Michael admitted that he was going to vote for Thomas Dewey in November, while Susan made it clear that she wanted Harry Truman to remain in the White House. The waiter placed an ice cream in front of Susan. She stared down at it. "Don't even think about it," Michael said. Susan wasn't surprised when he called the following day, although she'd been sitting by the phone for over an hour pretending to be reading. Michael had admitted to his mother over breakfast that morning it had been love at first sight. "But you've known Susan for years," remarked his mother. "No, I haven't, Mom," he replied. "I met her for the first time yesterday." Both sets of parents were delighted, but not surprised, when they became engaged a year later. After all, they'd hardly spent a day apart since Susan's graduation party. Both had landed jobs within days of leaving college, Michael as a trainee with the Hartford Life Insurance Company and Susan as a history teacher at Jefferson High, so they decided to get married during the summer vacation. What they hadn't planned was that Susan would become pregnant while they were on their honeymoon. Michael couldn't hide his delight at the thought of being a father, and when Dr. Greenwood told them in the 6th month that it was going to be twins, he was doubly delighted. "Well, at least that will solve one problem," was his first reaction. "Namely," asked Susan, "one can be a Republican, the other a Democrat." "Not if I have anything to do with it," said Susan, rubbing her stomach. Susan continued teaching until her 8th month, which happily coincided with the Easter vacation. She arrived at the hospital on the 28th day of the 9th month carrying a small suitcase. Michael left work early and joined her a few minutes later with the news that he had been promoted to account executive. "What does that mean?" asked Susan.
"It's a fancy title for an insurance salesman," Michael told her, "but it does include a small..."